Good morning, and my talk is on the theme of joy. I came across an article from Very Well magazine about five things that science says will ha make us much happier. Firstly, practice daily gratitude. Expressing gratitude, that means saying thank you, has been shown to do more than improve your mood. People who write down a few positive things about their day are healthier, more energetic, less stressful, and less anxious, and even get better sleep. Secondly, they say, surround yourself with positive people. A landmark study found that living within 1 mile of a happy person boosts your own happiness by 25%. I have no idea how they did that. Anyway, number three, practice regular acts of kindness. Further studies have shown that spending money on others makes us happier than spending money on ourselves. And doing small acts of kindness increases life satisfaction. Even the smallest nice gesture can make somebody's day. Fourthly, spend more time with your family and friends. Friendships can be one of the keys to long life. In fact, one report found that low social interaction and, in turn, loneliness can be as bad for you as smoking 15 cigarettes a day and is twice as bad for your health as being overweight. Number five, invest in experiences, not objects. Research shows people feeling happier when they spend their money on experiences like holidays rather than objects. We remember experiences for a long, long time, and our brains can relive them, making our positive emotions last longer. And that's true. I can remember most of my experiences like holidays and maybe birthdays and Christmases. But don't always remember the presents I've got or had got. Well, you see, we tend to liken happiness with joy, but they are totally two different things because they each spring from a different source. One comes from the world around us, and the other comes directly from the spirit of the living God. Happiness is conditioned by and often dependent upon what is happening to me. If people treat me good, if things are going well in my life, then I'm happy. If my circumstances aren't favorable, then I'm unhappy. To have the fruit of joy ripen in our lives is to recognize the journey involved in getting there. It takes time, patience, and hard work to make a grapevine produce grapes. Fruit is not instant because it has to overcome weather, bugs, weeds, poor soil, and neglect. If we want to see this fruit ripen in our lives, we desperately need the Holy Spirit to help us to make some choices that move us closer to a life of rejoicing. We need to guard against joy breakers, and we need to develop some joy builders into our lives. Before Paul wrote to the church at Galatia about the fruit of the Spirit in chapter 5, he asked a very powerful question in Galatians 4 and verse 15. What has happened to all your joy? The question needs to be asked in the church today. What has happened to all our joy? Now, William Barclay has said that a gloomy Christian is a contradiction in terms. And nothing in all religious history has done Christianity more harm than its connection with black cloths or clothes and long faces. Christians can lose their joy for a number of reasons, including disobedience. You see, sinning against God can sort of switch off the spirit and lead to a loss of joy. Disobedience can also deaden motivation, prayer, fellowship and other disciplines that are important for pursuing joy. What about lack of devotion? How much time do we spend with God? 1 minute, 1 hour, one day? Neglecting personal time with God can lead to a lack of joy. And what about unthankfulness? A tendency to focus on the difficult things in life Rather than the many blessings God provides, we should always be thankful for what God has given, for what God has provided. Also, comparing oneself to others. Do you do that? Do you compare yourself to others? Comparing oneself to others can lead to loss of joy. Let's be what God has created. Let's use our gifts rather than maybe envying other people and wishing, oh, I wish I could play the piano. I wish I could be musical. I wish I could be a great footballer. I wish I could be a great prime minister. No, 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 no. God wants us to be what we are, what he's created. The pathway to joy, however, has not always been an easy one to follow. It has become clear to me that God won't force, he's not going to force the expression of joy upon us. Much like a host throwing a party who invites you to the event in full hopes that you're going to absolutely enjoy yourself. He provides all that is needed for a good time, the atmosphere, the food, the people. But your attitude and actions determine how much you enjoy the event. Now, the Bible gives us at least, there are many, but I picked six ways to experience this joy. Firstly, joy is contagious. When we experience the joy of the Lord, it naturally overflows to others. Psalm 126 and verse 2 says, "Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them." You see, our joy is a witness to the world. When we live with joy, even in hardship, we demonstrate that our hope is not in the fleeting things of this world, but in the eternal and unshakable love of God. Secondly, joy sings. Now, for some, singing, whether in a church or in a car, is one way to stir up and release the joy of the Lord. Now, I've read that singing allows our soul to move its focus from the circumstances of life to the character of God. It can be very therapeutic. Now, Paul encouraged the Ephesian Christians to make music a habit in their lives. He says in Ephesians 5, "Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." Paul links music with the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And what about number three? Joy is rooted in hope. Romans 15 verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope that the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit." Our joy is closely tied to hope. The hope we have in Christ, his promises, his return, the eternal life we have in him, fills our hearts with joy. Even when we face difficult situations, our hope in Christ gives us a reason to rejoice. Now, this hope is not a fuzzy cheerfulness. It's a confident expression in God's goodness and faithfulness. Because we know that God has a purpose for us, that he will never leave us or forsake us, and that he has prepared a place for us in heaven, we can be joyful in all circumstances. Fourthly, joy serves. Jesus came into this world not as a king, but as a servant. He came to show us that the greatest joy is found when we lean and when we learn how to truly serve God and people in need. The heart of a genuine servant is a joyful one. When we discipline our minds to focus on God's will and the needs of others, we discover a place where joy flourishes. The joy of serving God is supposed to be one paved with great joy. Serve the Lord with gladness. Psalm 100 and verse 2. Fifthly, joy enjoys. What about enjoying God? It sounds almost too good to be true. And yet God not only wants us to worship him, he wants us to enjoy him. Philippians 4 and verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Now, someone has said joy is more than a sense of the comic, more than earthly pleasure, and to a believer, even more than what we call happiness. Joy is the enjoyment of God and the good things that come from the hand of God. And finally, joy comes from knowing God's presence. Psalm 16, verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forever and forevermore. Now, when we experience God's presence, we find true joy. This joy isn't short-lived like the joy of the world offers, but a deep, satisfying joy that flows from knowing God and being close to Him. In times of difficulty, it's easy to forget this truth. We often seek joy in things like achievements, possessions, or even relationships. But true, lasting joy is found in God's presence. When we turn our hearts towards Him, we are reminded that He is with us. And His presence brings joy that cannot be taken away. The wise men, or the Magi, only knew so much about who Jesus was and why He came. And yet, the Bible says they were filled with great joy. Growing as a Christian might best be described as working our joy and the joy of those around us. That is exactly what Christ was doing in the lives of His disciples and what the Holy Spirit has come to do in us. The fact is, one day, our final destination will be not only entering into heaven, but entering into joy. A wealthy man wanted to make his little boy understand the difference between being rich and being poor. So one day, the dad took a trip with his son to the countryside where the less fortunate live and stayed there for a few days. The goal was to show his son what a poor family must do to survive. As soon as they arrived, the child immediately felt the difference. Nevertheless, he had no problems interacting with the locals. He played with other children and he made new friends. He talked with an old lady who gave him snacks and treats. He walked around town and had a great time, even without money in his pocket. The child found the whole experience fascinating, to say the least. Before long, it was time to pack up and head back to the city where they lived. On the journey back, the father asked his son if he understood the difference between being rich and being poor. The child began to recall everything his experience had told his dad, what he realized. And this is what he realized. In the countryside, he could run free across fields without care. But at home, he was confined to the back garden. In a city, you can barely see the stars at night, but that was not a problem in the countryside. Being in the city, they have to buy food every day, but the farmers he met can grow their food. But the most striking difference, he thought, was how everyone in the community cared for each other. They lived a more relaxed life compared to them, and because of that, they experienced joy daily. The father, proud of his son, asked if he would like to be a poor man like the people he met. To his surprise, his child shook his head and said, "No, I want to be rich like them." Money might be able to buy you happiness, but money will never buy you joy. Let's remember that joy is not an optional extra to our Christian lives. It's an important part of our witness and our walk with God. We are called to be joyful, not because everything is perfect, but because we serve a perfect God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy that comes from knowing you. We pray that you would fill our hearts with your joy, regardless of our circumstances. Help us to be people who rejoice always, trusting in your presence and your promises. May your joy overflow with us, from us to others, bringing glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.